محمد الهادي البشير قد جاءنا حق النذير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So our topic today is النصيحة. Nasiha, when I started Basira, I wanted to call it something to do with nasiha. Nasiha means wishing the best for others. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ad-dinu an-nasihatu." He said that the essence of religion is nasiha, which means wishing the best for others. And he said it three times. He said it, "Ad-dinu an-nasihatu, ad-dinu an-nasihatu, ad-dinu an-nasihatu." And then the companions, they asked him, they said, "To whom?" They said, "Whom should we have nasiha for? Whom should we wish the best for?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Lillah, for Allah, and for His Messenger, and for His book, and for the leaders of the Muslims, and for the generality of the Muslims." Sometimes when we hear the word nasiha, it means we understand it to mean giving advice to other people, and telling them something, telling them that you should do this, and telling them that you shouldn't do this. But that wasn't the meaning of nasiha in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The scholars, they say that nasiha means النصيحة means إراءة الخير للمنصوح له. It means that you wish the best, you wish good for the person who you do nasiha to. So nasiha doesn't, you don't have to say anything. The only thing that you need is you have sincere well-wishing for the person who you have nasiha for. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was perhaps his central trait. This is directly related to his function as the messenger of God sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every single prophet and messenger who came before him, or at least a great many, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that they said to their people, "Wa ana lakum nasihun amin." So that they said to their people that I am nasih to you, I wish the best for you, and I am amin, I am trustworthy. ذكرت سيدي أنه هو الحديث في النصيحة وأنه ربما كان يعني هذا يعني وصف النصيحة يعني هو الوصف الأساسي لجميع الرسل والأنبياء. يعني كلهم جاءوا وقالوا أنا لكم ناصح أمين، ويرتبط بوظيفتهم ارتباطا يعني وثيقا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his companions, he used to teach his companions also to have nasiha. One of his companions, his name is Sayyidina Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He became Muslim, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a bay'ah from him, took a pledge from him. Sayyidina Jarir, he said, "Qala bay'atu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala iqam as-salati wa ita'i az-zakati wa nushi li kulli muslim." So Sayyidina Jarir, he said that I gave bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, I pledged to him that I will establish the prayer and I'll give zakat and I'll wish the best for every Muslim. Later on, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, somebody came to Sayyidina Jarir and he said Sayyidina Jarir went to buy a horse from somebody. He went to buy a horse from somebody, and he said that the man said that how much is, he asked the man, "How much will you sell your horse for?" And the man said, 300 dirhams. And Sayyidina Jarir, he said to the man that your horse is worth more than that. Will you sell it to me for 400 dirhams? He said, yes. He said, your horse is worth more than that. Will you sell it to me for 500 dirhams? He said, yes. He said, your horse is worth more than that. Will you sell it to me for 600, 700, 800 dirhams? Until he bought the horse from this other person for 800 dirhams. So he did the opposite of what we would expect. Normally we negotiate down, he negotiated up. And so he was asked about this later on, and he said that I gave a bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I would wish the best for every single believer. And so after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, this was an expression of the bay'ah that he gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ذكرت سيدنا جرير بعد أن بايع تبيع فراسك ب 300 درهم تعرفون المرة عليكم. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just before he passed away, shortly before he passed away, in his farewell sermon, he said to his companions, he said that you will be asked about me. So these are he's giving a sermon. He's going to pass away soon afterwards. He said, you will be asked about me. You will be asked about me. So what will you say about me? تُسْأَلُونَ عَنِّي فَمَاذَا تَقُولُونَ عَنِّي. And they said, the companions, they said, نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ وَأَدَّيْتَ وَنَصَحْتَ. The companions, they said that we bear witness that you conveyed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you had nasiha, you wished the best for all of us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad. He said, oh Allahumma fashhad. He said, oh Allah, bear witness. Oh Allah, bear witness. The Prophet, the scholar, so the entire mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a mission of nasiha. Why did he call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Out of nasiha for them, because he wished the best for them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that my example and your example, he said that innama mathali wa mathalukum karajulin istawqada nara. He said that my example and your example is like a man who lit a fire, and then the moths, they started falling into the fire because they thought that it was something attractive, and they're attracted towards the fire. But when they fall into the fire, they die. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you are plunging into the fire, rushing into the fire, and I am holding you by your waist holds, preventing you from falling into the fire. So this was how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw his mission. He saw his mission as an expression of nasiha for other people. Now, so anything that we take from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any example of his life, it's an expression of his nasiha. But how do we know? How do we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did everything out of nasiha for his followers? So the scholars, they give an example. They say that there are signs by which you can know that somebody who is giving, who is teaching other people, who is calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is doing it out of nasiha. فَذَكَرَ يُوجَدْ عِبَارَةٍ لِبَعْضِ الْعُلْمَاءِ سِيدِي يَقُولُ ذَكَرُوا فِيهِ عَلَامَةَ الشَّيْخِ النَّاصِحِ وَقُلْتُ يعني نستطيع أن نطبق هذا على رسول على يعني كان كل حياته كان نصيحة. لكن يوجد علامات يعني يمكن للناظر أن ينظر من خلالها فيستبين أنه يعني إنما دعا الناس إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى نصيحة لله وليس يعني لنفسه فقالوا يعني علامة الشيخ الناصح ألا يكون حريصا على ما في أيدي الناس وأن يقرب إليه الفقراء والمساكين، وأن يرفق في تعليمه، وأن يتواضع لمن يعلمهم ويعلمهم ما ينفعهم، يعني أولا فأولا. يعني هذا ما معنى. So they say that the sign that somebody has nasiha, the sign that somebody who's teaching people religious knowledge has nasiha, is that that person not be greedy for what's in the hands of people, and that he draws the poor people close to him, poor people and seemingly insignificant people close to him, and that he's gentle in the way that he teaches other people, and that he humbles himself to the people, to those who he teaches, and that he teaches people what benefits them rather than difficult and complex topics. So the ulama, they say, they apply this, they say that these are signs that we can use to gauge whether somebody is doing something out of nasiha or whether they have some kind of a selfish motive behind what they are doing. So if we apply this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not avid for what was in the hands of other people. لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حريصا على ما في أيدي الناس حاشاه صلى الله عليه وسلم. And there are so many examples of this. So after Fath Mecca, when he had all of these spoils of war, and he saw somebody, one of the Bedouins, looking at sheep and goats that lined the fields all the way up till the horizon, and he looked at it, and these were spoils of war that had come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he looked at it with longing, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you want it? Is this something that you are attracted to?" And he said, "Yes." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Take it all." And the man took it, and he went back to his people, and he told everybody, "Become Muslim, because Muhammad is somebody who gives, and he gives, and he doesn't fear poverty." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never kept anything for the next day. Everything that was in his house, he would give it away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he died, لما توفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان قد رهن درعه عند يهودي يعني على يعني كمية من الشعير. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he passed away, he didn't have enough money to feed his dependents, and so he had mortgaged his armor with a Jewish man in order to get money to buy his people, buy his family food to eat, grain. And he was the most powerful person in all of Arabia. He was the messenger of Allah. He could have used all of these things for his personal benefit, but he didn't gather. He didn't use his position to gather money. So this is a sign. This is one sign that when he called people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did it out of nasiha for them. He didn't do it out of a selfish motive to gather things of the world. Another sign, they say, of somebody who's calling people sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you bring the poor people close to you, poor and insignificant people close to you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would, little children used to go to him, and he used to give them his attention. Sayyidina Anas, Khadim Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a little boy, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give him attention. We saw last week how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to show concern for the brother of Sayyidina Anas, and he said to him, "Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'al an-Nughayr?" And we saw how when he entered Medina, a little servant girl went and took him by his upper garment, and he turned at her and he smiled at her. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a woman, كانت تقوم المسجد. She used to sweep and clean the masjid. And then he asked about her. He said, "Where is she?" And they said that she died. And he said, "Why didn't you tell me about her?" that she died. He said, tell me where her grave is. And he went and he made dua for her. So when somebody calls people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake, sincerely for their sake, a sign of that is that they don't restrict themselves to a closed circle of highly influential and wealthy people, but they spend time with the poor and insignificant people. And this is a sign that somebody is calling people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we find that in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another sign is that somebody who calls people to Allah for this, for sincerely for their sake, is that he's gentle to them. He's not rough and he's not gruff. He doesn't look down upon them. He doesn't scold them. He doesn't, but he speaks to them gently. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard Sidi Abu Munir mention this once. He had Al-Fadl ibn Abbas behind him, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was looking at a woman and he was not permitted to look at her. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his face and he turned it to the side. He didn't scold him in public. He did it again. He again took his face and gently turned it to the side. And we all know about the hadith of the Bedouin. So when somebody is using religion selfishly, they don't behave like this. They're not gentle with other people, but they're using their religion in order to put themselves up over other people. And we don't find that with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was humble to people who he would teach. The companions, they could go to him and they could, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would sit with his companions and a stranger would come, he wouldn't be able to tell which one is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from everybody who was sitting, because he sat and he dressed just like everybody else. And finally, he spent his life teaching people that which benefits them. So this trait of nasiha is a central trait of prophecy. And this is why the companions, they loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is why they were inspired by him, and this is why they were drawn to him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Anybody have any? Lakum shay siri? Tu'allikunani?
Mashallah kan.
Do you have any questions?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وحبيب رب العالمين. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا ولا فهم لنا إلا ما فهمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. يعني كأن باعث النصيحة فيما ذكرتم هو الشفقة على عباد الله والشفقة على النفس، كأن النصيحة باعثها الشفقة على خلق الله، ومن جملتها الشفقة على نفس الإنسان نفسه في أن يكون مؤتمرا بأمر الله تعالى منتهيا بنهيه، شفقة على نفسه وشفقة على غيره بالنصح بالأمر والنهي إلى ما تفضلتم به، كأن باعثها الشفقة، أليس كذلك؟
كيف الشفقة على النفس دي؟ على
بأن تحملها على اتباع الأوامر حتى تنجو من عذاب الله.
نعم، يعني ينصح لنفسه.
طبعا.
نعم.
و يعني عند بعض أهل الله أنها أقرب المجاورين لك، أن النفس نفسك أقرب المجاورين لك، فأن تبدأ بها نصحا وشفقة عليها، امتثال أمر والانتهاء عن منهي عنه، فأولى بك فأولى أولى لك فأولى أن تنصح نفسك.
When you said that the origin from which wishing well for others stems is compassion for other people and compassion for oneself. So that is the thing that drives one to wish the best for other people. So I said that compassion for other people, it's, we can understand. What about compassion for ourselves? What does it mean that nasiha comes from having compassion for ourselves? He said that ourself is the scholar, the people of Allah, they say, is our closest neighbor. Ourself is our closest neighbor, and so when we have compassion for ourselves, then we want to save ourselves from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we call other people, before we call other people, we call ourselves out of compassion for ourselves and out of wishing the best for ourselves. فأحيانا هو إذا أغلظ الشخص على نفسه
و
يعني أغلظ على نفسه فهل هذا يخالف يعني هو يعني يخالف هذا أو لا ينبغي هذا أو
يعني إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء فحتى على نفسك فأحملها بالإحسان على طاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى كما كان يقول سيدنا الهاشمي الله يرحمه ورحمة الله عليه سبحان الله الهاشمي مدرسة يعني ما إلا وأن نأتي على ذكره في كل يعني مجلس ماذا كان يقول
So I asked him, I said that what about being rough and gruff with ourselves and forcing ourselves to do unpleasant things and putting ourselves down? Is that something that, how does that, does that conflict with having compassion for ourselves? And he said, yes, it does. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed that we do everything with ihsan, that we do everything with excellence. And this includes in the way that we treat ourselves. And so this is what Sayyidina al-Hashimi used to say. And he is a complete school himself. And anything that you mention, there's something that you'll find from him on that topic.
فكان يقول في النفس يعني أن لا تباشرها بالمحاربة بل سايسها وطالبها وقل لها أعطيك ما تريدين من ما سمح الشرع به لكن بأن تفعلي كذا وكذا وكذا من الأوامر فأنا لا أمنعك مطلبا تطلبيه لكن أن تعطيني من نفسك أمرا قصرت به مثلا لو طلبت شيئا ما من المباحات ففي مذهب في المجاهدات أنه يمنعها حتى من المباحات مذهب الهاشمي كان لا قال عدها بأنك تعطيها هذا إذا قامت بأمر تطلبه أنت منها فمثلا لو كانت مثلا تترك التهجد مثلا وطلبت مباحا قل نعم أنا أعطيك هذا المباح لكن بشرط أن تقومي في للتهجد مثلا وهكذا
So there is a school of thought that is that says that one needs to wage war against, that we need to wage war against ourselves, against. And so he said that this was not, this is a school of thought, but it wasn't the school of thought of Sheikh al-Hashimi. He said that don't wage war against yourself, but use diplomacy with it, and say to yourself, and so give it something that is permissible, and then seek from it what you want. So there's a way, there's an approach to disciplining the soul, which is that you prevent yourself from all permissible things. But that wasn't the approach of Sheikh al-Hashimi. So he said that he would say, for example, the nafs would desire something that's permissible, and he would say, yes, I'll give it to you, but on condition that, for example, you wake up at night and you pray tahajjud at night. And so then you get the nafs to pray tahajjud, and then you reward it with something that is permissible and that it enjoys.
نقلوا عن بعض الأولياء أنها نفسه طلبت منه الخيار فقال 30 سنة وأنا أمنعها من ذلك ثم قالت له طيب بس خليني أشم رائحته فقط هذا يعني كانت سياسة سيدنا الهاشمي يعني لون من لون آخر في المجاهدة أعطيك ما تريدين لكن أن تعطيني منك ما أريد ما يريد الشرع الشريف منك
But some of the righteous people, it's related from them that they forbade themselves from eating cucumbers for 20 years. And then the nafs insisted and said, let me smell it, at least let me smell it. And he refused to let his nafs even smell the cucumber. He said that this was not the approach of Sheikh al-Hashimi, but he would say that give to me, he would say, go ahead, have the cucumber, but on condition that you give me what I'm asking for. And that is something to do with a perfection of the Sharia, something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do. سيدي احتقار النفس فيه يعني هذا يعني يخالف مذهبه يعني أن يحتقر شخص نفسه
إلا إذا يعني ظهرت منها مخالفة فيؤنبها ويوبخها أما مثلا يريد هو أن يأخذ بيدها إلى ربها فالطريق إلى الأخذ باليد لا يأتي إلا بالإحسان فأن يحسن إليها وبإحسانه إليها جبلت هي ما هكذا يقولون العبارة التي يقولونها القوم جبلت النفوس على حب من أحسن إليها فإذا أحبت يعني إذا أحسن إليها لكن لا يحسن إليها ويتركها هملا تمشي هي على عاتقها لا يحسن إليها ويطالبها وهذا منهج يعني الله أعلم يعني منهج نبوي يعني هذا هو يعني أقرب للصواب والله أعلم وكلهم على خير
He said, I asked him, I said, what about having contempt for oneself? Is that, does that have a place in spiritual discipline? And he said that if we do something wrong, then we scold ourselves and we take ourselves to task. However, that's not the way that we take ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way that we take ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by being, wishing the best for ourselves and treating ourselves well with ihsan, with excellence. And they say that there's a famous saying that hearts are inclined to love those who are kind to them. And so if we are kind to ourselves, then our selves will be inclined to, and that's the way that inclines to us, and that's the way, and when we tell ourselves to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will. So that's the way to take anybody to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that doesn't mean that you give yourself everything that it wants and you leave it to do whatever it wants. That's not the intention. But the intention is that you give your nafs what it wants and then you seek from it something that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And so you use the kindness and excellence towards it as a means to draw it towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وهذا كان مذهب سيدنا أبو الحسن رضي الله عنه الشاذلي عندما يعني نصح بشرب الماء المبرد يعني في أيام الحر قال حتى يكون الشكر نابعا من كل ذرة من ذرات الجسد فبينما المذهب الآخر يشربون مثلا الماء الحار في الصيف مثلا مجاهدة لنفوسهم بينما سيدي أبو الحسن لأن طريقته رضي الله عنه سميت بطريقة الشكر قال أنا أنصح إخواني بأن يشربوا الماء المبرد هذا من التنعم ومن إعطاء النفس يعني إحسانا للنفس لكن قال ماذا يريد منها أن تشكر المولى سبحانه وتعالى على هذه النعمة
So he said that this is a prophetic way, and it's also the way of Sayyidina Abu al-Hasan al-Shadhili, who he would say that like to drink, he would prefer to drink cold water on a hot day to drinking hot water on a hot day. The approach of others who other scholars who sought to discipline themselves would be to make them impose upon themselves and drink and the unpleasantness of drinking hot water on a hot day in order to discipline the self until fight against it until it gives up. He said that the way of Sayyidina Abu al-Hasan was he said that he would give himself cold water, in other words, some of the enjoyment of the dunya, something that tastes well, something that one enjoys, and he would give it to himself, he said, and then seek something from it. And he said that he would do this so that his nafs would be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would be more able to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he drank cold water than he would if he drank hot water. So giving it cold water was a means for him to draw from himself gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
بعض العلماء لا يرغبون هذا جلدا بيسموه جلد النفس أن تجلدها يعني أنت حامل العصا وكلما رفعت رأسها ضربت كلما رفعت رأسها ضربتها لا يريدون منك أن تأخذ بيدها يعني إحسانا.
And some of the scholars, they don't like a group of scholars, and this is the way that he prefers. He says they don't like the approach of beating the self, beating the nafs. That whenever it appears, you hit it on the head until it goes. Whenever it wants something, you hit it on the head. It wants something, you hit it on the head. He said that if you behave like that to anyone, with anyone, you won't be able to take them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as you take other people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being kind to them and drawing them to you, you take your nafs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also by drawing it to you and being kind to it and drawing it to you.
قالوا أن النفس يعني أضر من 70 شيطان فأنت كلما يعني اتخذت هذا المنهج في قمعها و هي تلتف عليك وتسرقك من مكان آخر وأنت تصبح دائما في هذا الصراع هنا وهناك، تدفعها من هنا تأتي من هنا، تدفعها من هنا تأتي من هنا. أما إذا يعني على مذهب الهاشمي رضي الله عنه ومذهب سيدي أبو الحسن، إذا أعطيتها وطالبتها أو طالبتها وأعطيتها مقابل أدائها ما تطلبها منها، ما تطلبه منها، فهذا يكون يعني كفاك الله العدو.
They say that the nafs is more harmful than 70 shaitans. He said, so if you try to fight it and you hit it from here and you come from there, its head will pop up from somewhere else and you'll tire yourself. But if you use the other approach, you give it something and then you seek something from it. Or you reward it, you seek something from it, and then when it does it, you reward it by giving something to it. Then he said it will come to you happily, and you will be sufficed the fatigue of a long battle.
عندنا أكلة حلوة في الشام يقال لها كل وشكور. حقيقة يعني كلمة جميلة جدا. اسم الحلوى كل وشكور، يعرفونها أهل الشام، يعني حلوى محشية بالفستق الحلبي وكذا وكذا. حقيقة هكذا، إذا يعني فعلت شيئا أو أردت منها شيئا وحملتها على حمد الله تعالى، ربما تشجعها في ذلك. سمعت حكمة من قريب، من يعني من زمن قريب، قالوا ثلاثة أحواض زراعة، ثلاثة أحواض للزراعة. نحن نقول عندنا مسكبة، يعني هي مكان للزراعة، ثلاثة أحواض، ثلاثة مساكب، فزرعوها و تركوه مسكبة من المساكب، هذه حوض من الأحواض، تركوه من غير أن يوجهوا له شيئا. المسكبة الثانية قالوا يخاطبون الزرع ويخاطبون الأرض باللوم والانتقاد التحطيم وكذا 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 وكذا، والمسكبة الثالثة بالثناء، ما شاء الله الزرع جيد، ما شاء الله، ويسمعون النبات والأرض الكلام الجيد. قالوا الأولى بقيت كما هي، لا كان زرعها إنتاجه جيد ولا أنه ليس جيدا. الثاني كان زرعه الزرع فيها يعني سيئا ونتاجه سيء، والثالث كان نتاجه كثير وطيب. فهذا في الزراعة، وهذه دراسة حقيقية، يعني عندما وجهت هذه اللوم على هذه الأرض وعلى هذا الزرع تعبت ولم تنتج، وعندما وجه الثناء على نفس الأرض، نفس الأرض، نفس الماء، نفس التراب، نفس، لكن هذا يعني التحفيز يعني أعطى ثماره، أعطى نتاجه. فقلت هذه حكمة بالغة.
He said that they have there's a dessert in Syria. It's called eat and give thanks. So like you have donuts and pastries. So there's a certain kind of dessert in the lands of Sham. It's called eat and give thanks. Eat and be grateful. That's the name of the dessert. And he said that this is an excellent name, and it reflects the spirit of what he is saying. He said that they did a study. So this is a scientific study that was done. They took three plots of land, and they planted the plots of land. They had vegetation or plants on them. And so they, on one plot of land, the plants, they left them as they were. Another plot of land, somebody went every day and scolded the plants and told the plants that you're like this and you're bad and you're terrible and you don't grow enough and you're this and you're that. And the third plot of land, every day somebody went and praised the plants. And so after a period of time, they compared, and the plot of land that had where nobody did anything stayed at the way that it was, and the plot of land where they scolded the plants and put them down, the plants, they withered, and the plot of land where they praised the plants, they flowered and they flourished. So he said that if this is the case with plants, how should it be with human beings, and how should it be for ourselves?
وهذا في المذهب النبوي في المنهج النبوي هذا موجود يعني عندما كان يعطي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل أحد من الصحابة صفة ما هذا تشجيع فمثلا أعطى سيدنا أبو بكر قال لو وزن إيمان الأمة وإيمان أبو بكر لرجح إيمان أبو بكر وقال لو كان نبيا بعدي لكان الفاروق عمر وفي الحياء سيدنا عثمان وفي الشجاعة سيدنا علي وفي لسيدنا خالد سيف الله المسلول وأفرضكم معاذ أو أقرأكم أبي وهكذا يعني هذا كله يعطي يعني الهمة يعني وهذا كله داخل في النصيحة لأنه تعهد من يعني ترشده تتعهده شوف عندما قال يا معاذ إني لا أحبك شوف على التعهد من النصيحة إني لا أحبك لا تدعنا دبر كل صلاة
Subhanallah.
اللهم لا تدع عنا كل دور صلاة اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك شوف كيف النصيحة يعني كيف مدخله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليها يعني بدأه إني لا أحبك هذه فتحت القلب للسماع وفتحت الأذن للاستقبال فتدخل النصيحة في هذا المجال مباشرة إلى القلب
said that this is the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to praise his companions, he used to compliment them, and he would give a different kind of compliment to each companion in order to encourage him. So he said about Sayyidina Abu Bakr that if the iman of Abu Bakr was weighed against the iman of the rest of the ummah, then the iman of Abu Bakr would outweigh the iman of everybody else. He said that if there was any prophet after me, it would be Umar. And in bravery, he praised Sayyidina Ali. In knowledge of inheritance, he praised Sayyidina Zayd. In praiseworthy shame, he praised Sayyidina Uthman. And so he did these things because when the companions, they heard, he said about Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid that he is the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did this, he gave these compliments because when you give these compliments, then it encourages the person who is complimented, to, and it opens their heart to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how he did nasiha. This is how he helped people and called them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being kind to them, by being nice to them, and that opened their hearts, and then they responded. And he said, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and he said, O Mu'adh, verily I love you. And so say after every prayer, Allahumma a'inni ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, help me to remember you, to be grateful to you, and to worship you beautifully. And so he said that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Sayyidina Mu'adh and said to him, I love you, then this opened his heart to receive something from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and rush to it with eagerness. And so and this is the method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is why what Sayyidina Munir was saying earlier, that the basis of nasiha is having compassion for other people and having compassion for ourselves.
ولفت نظري فيما تفضلت به في وكأني أول مرة أسمع هذه الرواية عندما قلت ما قلت عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم ماذا تقولون عني إذا ماذا تقولون عني
ربما وأنتم تسألون عني فما أنتم قائلون
فما أنتم قائلون فكل إذا كان رسول الله المعصوم الموحى إليه تسألون عني فماذا تقولون كل من تولى أمرا من أمور الدنيا والدين يلزمه أن يكون هذا نصب عينيه ماذا تقولون عني
And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to his companions before, in his farewell sermon, he said, you will be asked about me, so what will you say about me? And the companions, they said that we will say that you delivered and you were sincere towards us and you wished the best for us. The Munir said that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned about what his companions say about him, he said that everyone who takes any kind of religious position should be the same. They should be concerned that the people around them, they will say these kinds of things about them. This is part of having nasiha for them.
ماذا تقولون عني لو كنت أبا؟ ماذا تقولون عني لو كنت معلما؟ ماذا تقولون عني لو كنت صاحب معمل مصنع ماذا تقولون عني لو كنت ولي أمر ماذا تقولون فهذه يعني والله حقيقة وكأني أول مرة أسمعها تلزمنا جميعا في جميع أمور في جميع شؤوننا وحياتنا.
He said that it's as though he's hearing this for the first time. That the meaning registers with him. So he said that if we're parents, we should ask ourselves regarding our children, what will our children say about us? If we are teachers, we should ask ourselves about our students, what will our students say about us? If we are managers at work, we should ask ourselves, what will the people who are managing say about us? If we are rulers, then we should ask ourselves, what will the people who we've been placed over say about us? And so if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is a prophet, is saying this, and he's protected from error and sin, then it's an indication to us that we should, it's something that we should be concerned about.
كانت عبارة تنقل يعني سمعناها من سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن عن سيدنا الهاشمي هذا محلها يقول كان الهاشمي يقول النصيحة لا يقبلها إلا ولي ولا يرفضها إلا والعياذ بالله يعني شيطان.
Sayyidina al-Hashimi used to say that nasiha, sincere advice, nobody accepts it except somebody who is a wali, who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody rejects it except somebody who is a devil, who is a shaytan.
والنصيحة إما أن تكون في محلها أو تكون هكذا يقول الهاشمي ربما تكون أنت تحتاج إليها هذه النصيحة وأنت يعني لو قيل لك لما فعلت كذا أو لما فعلت كذا أو أنت ربما تكون تفعل هذا فتأتي هذه النصيحة فتأخذها وربما تكون أنت لست قد وقعت بهذا النصح الذي حذرت منه أو نصحت به فقال يجب عليك أن تقبلها على الجهتين على الجهة الأولى تأخذها وتعمل بها لأنك محتاج إليها وعلى إذا كنت لم تقع بها ووجهت إليك قال أن تأخذها للمستقبل أن تحذر من أن تقع بها مستقبلا فهي واجبة أخذها على الحالتين
So that if somebody comes and gives us nasiha, then there's two possibilities. Either they give us nasiha, they advise us regarding something that is genuinely a fault within us. And if that's the case, then we accept their nasiha by changing the fault that's within us. Or they point out a fault that we don't have. And in this case, we accept it by accepting that it's a fault and resolving to never to not fall into it into the future. So if somebody comes and alerts us to some kind of a fault, then whether it's within us or whether it's not within us, we should be able to we can accept it in both cases.
فلا تترك النصيحة ولو كانت يعني في ما يظهر أنك لست متلبسا بضدها فلا تترك إما تأخذها لتنتفع منها الآن وإما إن لم تكن فيك تحذر من أن تقع بها في المستقبل.
So one should accept nasiha in both situations. If it's something that is it's a fault that's within us, then we change. And if it's a fault that we don't have, then we resolve to change in the future. You should su'al, Siri. So there's a question. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, the topic from last week and the teaching was beneficial for me. Jazakallahu khairan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. That said, in addition to being cheerful and magnanimous most of the time, does our religion teach us that when and how to seek revenge and secure justice, honor, dignity that has been taken from us, the weak, the naive, etc., by the powerful, those with authority, by bullies, by the narcissistic, etc.? يوجد سائل أو سائلة تسأل يسلم عليكم سيري ثم تقول يعني هذا حضرت الدرس الماضي في الأسبوع الماضي عن ال يعني الموضوع الذي تناولناه فيقول يعني تقول استفدت منه وجزاكم الله خيرا لكن يقول يعني في معظم الأوقات نكون عندنا طلاقة ونكون عندنا يعني نرحب بالآخرين لكن هل يعلمنا ديننا كيف متى وكيف يعني نأخذ العدل من الظالم أو يوجد ظالم يعني ظلمنا ونحن ضعفاء ولم نكن عندنا علم و يعني شعرنا بالإهانة والظالم هو عنده قوة فبغى علينا وعنده سلطة فهل يعني كيف نطبق ما تعلمناه في الأسبوع الماضي عن من طلاقة الوجه من يعني انتصار في مثل هذه المواضيع؟
اليد تقيم الحد والقلب يرعى الود.
Said that the hand establishes the punishment. The hand punishes, but the heart is careful to always have love.
ضربنا مثال في ذلك أنه كان أحد الشيوخ عنده مريد وكان هذا المريد قاضي. فتوفي الشيخ وكان ابن الشيخ يعني يشرب الخمر. فيأتوا به إلى القاضي تمسكه الشرطة ويأتوا به إلى القاضي ويقولون للقاضي أتينا بفلان يشرب الخمر. فعندما يسمع فلان يعني ابن شيخه يقوم من مجلسه ويستقبله على باب المحكمة ويقبل يده ويؤهل ويسهل به إلى أن يأتي به إلى كرسي الجلد ثم يقوم بجلده حد الخمر ثم يقبل يده ويقول له يا سيدي ابن سيدي يا سيدي ابن سيدي أنتم يعني لا يليق بكم هذا وكذا ويبدأ ينصحه. فقيل له في ذلك قالوا أنت تقبل يده عندما يأتي وتجلده ثم تقبل يده وتقول له سيدي يا سيدي ابن سيد. شو هذا التناقض؟ قال لا، اليد تقيم الحد والقلب يرعى الود. كثيرا ما كان سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن يذكر هذا.
He said that Sheikh Abdul Rahman used to frequently mention a story of a sheikh who had a student. He had a murid, and the student was a judge. And so the sheikh passed away. His teacher passed away, and he had a son. His sheikh had a son, and the son was somebody who used to drink wine, and so. The police would catch this person publicly drinking wine and bring him to the judge in order to be punished. And so he would meet him at the door, he would welcome him, he would smile at him, he would kiss his hand and bring him gently and sit him down on the place where he would be punished. And then he would beat him and give him the hard punishment of drinking wine, 40 lashes. And then after he did that, he would kiss his hand and he would say, oh, my master, the son of my master, it doesn't befit you to drink wine. And then he would take him out and then it would happen. This would happen repeatedly. And so the people, they came to him and they said that, isn't it a contradiction that you give him the had punishment? And then you call him my master, the son of my master. And he said this line, which Sheikh Abdul Rahman used to mention frequently about this. He used to say that the hand implements the punishment, but the heart makes sure to always have love.
وهذه الدنيا فيها طبعا فيها يعني فيها ظلم فيها شيء من هذا، لابد لابد، وإلا أين لنبلوكم؟ أنت تبتلي بالزوجة والزوجة تبتلي بك، والابن يبتلى بأبيه، والأب يبتلى بابنه، وهكذا في على كل المستويات. هذا يعني يقع الظلم يقع، لكن إذا أردت أن تنصح له لا يتعارض هذا مع يعني حفظ الود، لا يتعارض.
In this dunya, there's oppression that happens in this dunya, between oppression between parents and children, oppression between other people, people of authority and people under them. So that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and husband and wife. He said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries us and He tests us. He tests us with each other. He tests the husband with the wife, and the wife with the husband, and the children with the parents, and the parents with the children, and other people with other people. So he said, this happens in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates it. But when it happens, then having wishing the best for that person doesn't conflict with taking the means to stop the oppression. They go together.
قالوا أن الدنيا دار التواء لا دار استواء، ودار إتراح لا دار إفراح.
They said that this world is a place of being unsettled. It's not a place of being settled, and it's a place of difficulties, and it's not a place of pleasures.
خير لك أن تكون مظلوما من أن تكون ظالما.
And it's better for us to be wronged than for us to be the person who is wronging.
فإذا استطعت أن ترفع الظلم عنك بالتي هي أحسن فافعل.
So if you are able to remove the oppression from you through the way of excellence that he just described, then do that.
وإلا فإنما يوفون الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب.
And if you're unable to, then remember the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that those who have patience will be given a reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is immeasurable and has no end, that it's uncountable.
والصبر لابد إلا أن يسبقه قهر أو ظلم أو إساءة لابد. فكيف يحصل الصبر الإنسان إن لم يكن هناك شيئا أن تعرض إليه؟
So verses about patience, they presuppose oppression. They presuppose unkind treatment. Because how is it possible to be patient if there is no oppression and there is no unkind treatment? And so the tremendous reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, has mentioned about those who have patience, it is only possible if there is oppression.
وهذه الصورة التي ذكرها أو ذكرتها يجب أن تتنبه وتأخذها يعني لك درسا من أن لا تقع أنت في هذا في يعني في غيرك.
And so the description that you've given, then you should take it as a lesson that that you will never do this to anybody else.
أنا أرى هنا سيدي أنه يحتاج كل منا يحتاج ورد في السنة المطهرة أنه لتحسين ظواهرنا وإزالة الخلل عن ظواهرنا ورد في السنة المطهرة أن يكون لنا مرآة ننظر إليها لنصلح خلل ظواهرنا، أليس كذلك؟
نعم سيدي.
طيب كيف نظهر خلل بواطننا؟ فإشارة من ذلك يلزمنا هذا جميعا وعلى جميع المستويات، يلزمنا أن كما ورد أن المؤمن مرآة أخيه، فلو كان هناك مرآة حقيقية لك لي ننظر إليها من خلال أخ لنا في الله لا استقامت والله تعالى أمورنا.
That that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he likened believers to being mirrors of each other. How is a believer a mirror of another believer? Well, if you look at a mirror, the reason why you look at a mirror is because there's some kind of outward blemish that you want to fix. You want to fix your hair, you want to fix your clothes, you want to make sure you look nice. So you look in the mirror to help you fix your outward blemish. Said, how do we fix our inward blemishes? Said, we fix our inward blemishes by having a brother, a sincere brother, who we go to, and we go to them for advice. And when we go to them for advice, they are like our mirror. They help us. They help us fix our inward blemishes.
الفقير يعني اجتهاد من العبد الفقير. أرى أنه لما تركنا هذه المرآة من أيدينا أو من استخدامها واستعمالها فضاعت البوصلة. أما إذا كان هناك، وهذا في السنة المطهرة، أن يتخذ أخا له حتى يرى من خلاله العيوب، وأن ينصح من خلال هذه المرآة من كون المؤمن مرآة أخيه. فإن كان ما في له مرآة فقد هذا، أما إذا كان له مرآة ولو كان على جلالة قدره، يعني لو كان يعني صاحب قدر، لو اتخذ مرآة ولو كانت أقل منه قدرا، وهذا له أصل. انظر إلى إشارة، انظر إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، أشرف الخلق وأكرم الخلق على الله، الموحى إليه، المعصوم، كل ذلك معلوم، أليس كذلك؟ طيب، خير من أن يكون نبيا عبدا أو نبيا ملكا، صحيح؟
نعم سيدي.
ماذا كانت الإشارة من سيدنا جبريل؟ أن اتضع، فقال نبيا عبدا. وقفت معي مع الشاهد؟
نعم، فكأنه أخذ سيدنا جبريل مرآة.
مرآة، كأنه أخذ سيدنا جبريل مرآة. وسيدنا جبريل يعلم من هو رسول الله، ويعلم قدر رسول الله، ويعلم أنه أقرب الخلق إلى الله وأعظم الخلق عند الله، لكن لم تترك هذه المرآة النصيحة. وقدمت هذه، يعني هذه وقفة وقفت عندها، أنه رسول الله المعصوم الموحى إليه، أعظم خلق الله، أشرف خلق الله، يقول له سيدنا جبريل، يعني يشير إليه أن اتضع عندما خير بنبي، بأن يكون نبيا ملكا أو نبيا عبدا، أليس كذلك؟ فألا نحتاجه كلنا هذا؟ ألا نحتاج إلى مرآة ننظر من خلالها يعني نفوسنا وأعمالنا وكذا وكذا؟
نحتاج. He said that the reason why things go wrong he says, is such as the situation that situations that the questioner is asking about, is because we don't apply this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that everybody, no matter how high their rank, should always have a brother who is like a mirror to them, who helps them improve, who helps them see their faults, so that they look at themselves through the eyes of this other person, not only through their own eyes. Said that Shaykh Abdul Rahman was like that, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like that. And he mentioned an example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Jibreel once came to him and gave him a choice between being a prophet who is a king or a prophet who is a slave. He said that Allah has given you a choice. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him, and Sayyidina Jibreel, he gestured to him. He indicated to him that he should humble himself. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose to be a prophet who was a slave rather than a prophet who was a king. And so the point to take away from here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of creation, and Sayyidina Jibreel knows that he's the best of creation, that he's better than him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took Sayyidina Jibreel as a mirror, and he benefited from him. So he said that no matter how high somebody reaches, no matter what level somebody reaches, they always need to have someone who is their mirror, even if that person is below them in rank, as is the case with Sayyidina Jibreel and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was below him in rank, and still he took advice from him.
قل سيدنا عمر رضي الله عنه رحم الله امرأ أهدى إلي عيوبه.
Said Sayyidina Umar used to say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on somebody who gives me the gift of my faults, of appraising me of the faults that I have within me. He looked at other people as mirrors.
يعني هو يشجع من حوله على النصيحة. يشجع من حوله على أن يوجهوا له النصيحة.
He encouraged the people around him to give him advice and tell him his faults.
عندما تكون أنت مرآة لأخيك لا تكبر الموضوع فوق ما يلزم ولا لا تظهره فيجب أن يكون المرآة في بعض السيارات بيقولوا بحطوا عليها مرآة بيقولوا يعني هذه تعطيك مسافة صحيحة في بعض المرآة تعطيك مسافة غير دقيقة فيجب أن يكون يعني الأخ لأخيه أن يعطيه فعلا واقع الأمر لا أن يكبر الأمر أكبر من الحجم المطلوب ولا أن يلغيه فبكل الحالتين فيها إشكال أما أن يضع الأمر يعني بحجمه فيستفيد ومن ترك المرآة فإثمه على نفسه هو ترك المرآة لم يستعملها فكما أنك لو لم تستعمل المرآة الحسية الظاهرة كان هناك خلل في ظاهرك من لباس من ترتيب أمر من أمور ظاهرك كذلك عندما تتخلى عن مرآة لكشف عيوبك تكون قد أهملت هذا الأمر فأنت مسؤول اتخذ أخا بالله ولو كان أقل منك قدرا اتخذ أخا بالله
He said that if we are mirrors to somebody else, we should convey it accurately. We should convey the problem the way that it is and not enlarge it. And so he said that there's some rear view mirrors in cars, you look into them and they say that they have a sign on them that objects are closer than they appear. So he said that we shouldn't be like that. We should convey it accurately to other people. And he said that everybody should have a brother who helps them see their faults. And when they don't, then just as when somebody doesn't have a mirror to see their outward faults, they will, their hair won't be combed, their clothes will have stains on them. Similarly, if somebody doesn't have a brother, that they will have inward faults that will show.
خرجنا عن موضوع السؤال نحن
في لا سيدي في ثاني في الموضوع تماما
ان شاء الله.
آخر سؤال سيدي يقول يسأل السائل last question, he said last week you spoke of the sunnah of smiling. I might smile at a friend because I'm happy to see them, but I would also like my intention to be to follow the sunnah. However, I may forget to make this intention. How can I get better at remembering to have this intention? Is it a matter of practice? يقول في الأسبوع الماضي تعلمنا سنة الابتسام وقد أبتسم إلى صديقي لأنني فرحت برؤيته ولكن أحب أن أنوي أيضا أن اتباع السنة لكن قد أغفل عن هذه النية فكيف يعني أتحسن في تذكير في 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 ذكر هذه النية؟ هل هو مجرد يعني تدريب يعني أحاول ثم أحاول ثم أحاول؟
هذا واحد. والثاني أنه من أول النهار ينوي هذه النية أنه سوف يكون مبتسما وباهشا في عموم خلق الله. فهذه النية يعني تجزئه. ولكن الأولى عند كل ابتسامة مثلا أو عند كل بشاشة أو عند كل لقاء. لكن إن لم يستطع ذلك فتسعه النية في أول النهار.
He said that it is, yes, it's a matter of practice. And so you practice and you get better. And he said that you can also, at the beginning of the day, make an intention that I will smile and be cheerful at other people in order to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this single intention at the beginning of the day will suffice you for intending during the rest of the day. But it's better to have a separate intention. In addition to that, every time you smile, and with that practicing, he says, will help you realize that.
نعود إلى النصيحة ولو يعني كانت من إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. انظر إلى السيدة أم سلمة رضي الله عنها. يعني قد لا يحفظ من سيرتها إلا هذا الموقف. عندما يعني أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بأن يحلق الصحابة فلم يحلقوا فدخل يعني في وجهه شيء من العتب وكأنه قال يعني أنهم يعني إن لم يفعلوا هلكوا أو كذا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. لكن انظر إلى نصيحة السيدة أم سلمة رضي الله عنها. يا رسول الله يحبوك فلو خرجت إليهم وحلقت أنت لفعلوا. فخرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأخذ بنصيحتها. هذا يعني الأعلى يأخذ من الأدنى. مو شرط دائما الناصح يكون هو الأعلى. فخرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الصحابة وحلق أمامهم فتسارعوا إلى أن كادوا أن يجرحوا بعضهم بعضا لمسارعتهم لامتثال أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لامتثال فعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He said, we'll return to the topic of nasiha. And he said, what comes to his mind is Sayyidah Salama, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that after Hudaybiyah, after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the companions, they went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do pilgrimage at Mecca, and they were blocked in a humiliating way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them to slaughter their sheep and release themselves from pilgrim sanctity, and that they weren't going to do Umrah. And the companions refused, or because they were shocked. They said, how can we accept such humiliating terms? We've won the Battle of Badr, we've won these battles, we've all these things, and we've been blocked, and Quraysh is doing something that is wrong. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he returns to his wife Salama, and he was disappointed because his companions weren't doing what he had told them to do. And she said to him, she gave him nasiha. She said to him that they love you. Said, you go and shave your head and release yourself from ihram, and everybody else will do the same. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he accepted her nasiha. This is another example of accepting nasiha from somebody who is beneath one. And he went and he shaved his head, and the companions, when they saw that, they raced with each other to do the same.
عودة إلى السؤال الأخير ربما يكون هو قال وجهه هو بالأصل مبتسم فكيف يظهر النية هنا وهو طليق الوجه هكذا كأني فهمت منه نقول له طلاقة الوجه ويرافقها لين الكلام فإن كان وجهك طلقا لكن عند الكلام هنا يعني تساعدك النية في ذلك أن يكون كلامك لينا فإذا كان مظهرك مبتسما خلقة ولا يعني تأتي بالنية هنا لكن عندما تتكلم تلين الكلام وتدخل النية هنا.
He said that, returning to the last question about smiling, that he understood from the question that the questioner, he is naturally a cheerful person and likes to smile at everybody. So he said that this is a, he said that what you can do is, in that case, is that you intend, when you meet somebody, you naturally smile at them, but when you speak, you make a conscious effort to speak gently, to make your words more gentle and kind. And so the intention will enter into over there at that point.
دخلت إلى بائع خضار والرجل عنده يعني التزام يعني في مظهره فطلب من العامل الذي عنده في المحل طلب منه أمرا فقال له أعطني كذا وكذا كرما لا أمرا أعجبتني هذه الكلمة كثير يخاطب عامله يقول له أعطني الشيء الفلاني كرما لا أمرا يعني أصبحت أستخدم هذه الكلمة أحببتها أصبحت أستخدمها سبحان الله يعني أحيانا يوفق الإنسان يعني لكلام راقي جدا يعني هو مسؤول صاحب محل والعامل دونه بكثير يقول له أعطيني الأمر الفلاني كرما لا أمرا فأخذتها من يعني منهجا في عندما أطلب من أحد شيء أقول له كرما لا أمرا.
So that he once entered, he came, went to a vegetable shop, a fruit seller, a grocer, and he went, and he was a religious man. And so the shopkeeper, he had an employee who used to work and put the fruit here and put them away there. And so he said that he turns to his employee and he said, give me such and such a thing. And then he said, give me such and such a thing out of your generosity because you're generous, not because I'm commanding you to. So when Sidi Bunir, he said he heard that, he said he liked that expression. And he learned it and he began using it with other people. And so he says that when he asks somebody to do something, he asks them, you know, learning it from this person, gentle words, an example of gentle words, that, can you do this for me out of your generosity, not because I'm commanding you to.
سبحان الله الحكمة ضالة المؤمن أينما وجدها التقطها.
That wisdom is the lost property of a believer. Wherever he finds it, he picks it up.
فنصيحتنا لأنفسنا أن نتخذ أخا نأخذه مرآة لنا ونعاهده على ذلك. إذا رأيت عني شيء أخبرني به أصلح من خلالك نفسي.
He said that so our nasiha to ourselves is that we take a brother who and our relationship with that person is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we use that person to improve ourselves, and we take an oath from him. We say that if you see something wrong, then tell me so that I can correct myself.
الله يبارك لنا فيكم يحفظكم. نحن لسنا أهلا لهذا لكن نتذاكر مذاكرة. نرجو الله أن ينفعنا بما نسمع وأسمع. والله لسنا أهلا لذلك أبدا والله، لكن نرجو الله أن ينفعنا بما نسمع.
He's not qualified to say any of the things that he's saying, but he hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefits us all and benefits him through what he hears.
وهذا لا يقال على سبيل التواضع لأنه يكون هذا كبر كمان أصلا. أنا لا أقوله على سبيل التواضع، أقوله على سبيل التحقق لذلك. يعني من عامة من العوام لكن نسأل الله أن ينفحنا نفحة من أحبابه وببركة أوليائه وطالبي الحق أن ينفحنا ببركتهم نفحة يصلح لنا بها أحوالنا.
That he's not saying this out of humility. That to say this out of humility would be arrogance. But he's saying this because it is true, and he sees it as being true. Said that he is from the generality of the generality of the generality of the Muslims, and he sees this in himself, and he's conveying what's the truth, and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit him through those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who seek the truth, and yes.
وكأننا غفلنا عن شيء يعني في النصيحة، يعني مهم جدا أن لا تكون النصيحة يعني علنا، أن تكون سرا، لأنه يقول من نصحني فليسر بيني وبينه في النصيحة وإلا تكون فضيحة. فالنصيحة تحتاج إلى إسرار وإلى ملاطفة.
Said that there is one thing that we neglected in nasiha, and that is that when one gives advice to somebody, then it should be done secretly, and one shouldn't announce it openly to the whole world. And so giving nasiha requires privacy, and it requires gentleness.
لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله. تذكرت يعني بعض المواقف لسيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن، يعني أنا أعتبر يعني بين يديه في ذلك الوقت يعني سني سن أصغر أولاده، يعني يقول سيدي ما رأيكم في كذا؟ شو يعني ماذا يعطي هذا؟ يعني يعتبر سني من كأصغر أولاده رضي الله عنه، ثم يقول لك سيدي ما رأيك فيه؟ بينك وبينه يقول سيدي ما رأيك في الأمر الفلاني؟ يعني هذا من طرفه عبودية حقه، لأنه قد يخرج كلام على من هو دونه بكثير وكذا وكذا، وكم يرفع كمان هذا من همة من وجه إليه هذا. وهذا منهج نبوي أشير عليه. شوف في غزوة الخندق، من المشير على الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام في الخندق؟ سيدنا سلمان، أليس كذلك؟
نعم سيدنا.
يعني رضي الله عنهم الشيوخ، رضي الله عنهم، يعني هم وراث محمديون، أخذوا وراثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في جميع أحوالهم وتصرفاتهم وكذا وكذا. سبحان الله، كلما كان يأخذ من هذا المنبع وله الإرث الأوفر منه، كان يعني صاحب وراثة محمدية.
So he remembers this talking about Nasiha brings to mind, brings to his mind the many times when Shaykh Abdul Rahman asked him, turned to him and asked him, he said to him, Sidi, my master, what is your opinion on such and such a thing? And he says that the age difference between him and Shaykh Abdul Rahman was like he was like the youngest of Shaykh Abdul Rahman's sons, like his baby child, and he was beneath him in degrees, and yet he would turn to him, refer to him as my master, and he would ask and he would seek his advice. He said that this shows the humility of Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Rahman, and also he says that this is something that encourages the person whose advice is being sought. He said that he's speaking of himself, that when he went and he said this to him, and Shaykh Abdul Rahman spoke to him this way, it inspired him to follow him and do as he said and be as he was. And this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take advice from his companions. So at the Battle of Badr, he sought advice. He said that give me advice. In the Battle of Ahzab, of the trench, he sought advice from his companions, and it was Sayyidina Salman al-Farisi, who was a foreigner. He wasn't even an Arabian, who gave him the advice to dig the ditch. So taking the siha, having somebody as a mirror, is a trait of all of the great sheikhs and teachers.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا. أليس هذا من النصح؟
نعم.
هذا ليس طرف لطرف فقط، هو طرفين تواصوا، منه ومنك، منك منه ومنك.
He recited the Surah Al-Asr, which the companions used to recite when they parted company. And in this surah, it says that everybody is in loss except those who believe and do good deeds, and they enjoin each other. They enjoin one another to what is right. And this enjoining, he said, is mutual. It goes two ways. It's not from just from one side to the other.
أتمنى من كل من مثلا لنا صلة به، أتمنى عليه أن يتخذ أخا له، وهذا كان منهج النبوة. آخى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين فلان وفلان، بين فلان وفلان، أن يتخذ أخا ويكون بينهما عهد، أنك إذا رأيت في شيء أن تذكره لي، ولا يكون هناك حاجزا عن ذلك. أتمنى أن يكون هذا بيننا وبين كل من، يعني حتى بين كل مسلم، أن يكون يتخذ أخا صديقا يجعله يقوم نفسه من خلاله.
And that he wishes that everybody who has a connection with him through his teaching, that who wants to learn from him, that each and every one of us should take a brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should all take a covenant from that brother and ask him to alert one of one's faults and to tell one that something is whenever something wrong happens.
هذا في من أراد النصح لنفسه، في من بالغ في النصح لنفسه أن يتخذ جميع البرايا مرايا. من أراد النصح لنفسه يتخذ مرآة، مفهوم؟
نعم.
ومن بالغ في نصح نفسه فليتخذ البرايا مرايا. يكون كل عبد، كل مخلوق مرآة له.
He said, so this is somebody who has compassion for himself and wants the best for himself should take somebody who will, a brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will apprise them, him of his faults. Said, as for somebody, so this is the minimum, but if somebody wants to go to great lengths to do this really, really well, then they should take everybody in creation as a mirror. In other words, they take everyone as a means to reflect on their own faults. جاء سؤال سيدي.
بسم الله.
يقول, so there's a question that came. If your neighbor has a problem in his relationship with Allah, he cannot see it as not following the deen, how can one help them without making them feel that you are judging him? إذا كان جارك عنده مشكلة في علاقته مع الله سبحانه وتعالى ولا يستطيع أن يرى أنه لا ليس يعني لا ليس متدينا مثلا فكيف نساعده من غير أن نشعره بأننا نحتقره أو نعم
نعوذ بالله من احتقاره نعوذ بالله من احتقاره هذا يحتاج إلى شفقة، يحتاج إلى إحسان، يحتاج إلى هدية، يحتاج إلى هذا بغيتك، وهذا صيدك، وهذا ما يجب أن تبحث عنه، خصوصا أنه جارك.
He said that, so I, translating judging him as having contempt for him, because that's what, when people say don't judge me, what do they really mean? They say don't have contempt for me, don't think that I am, I'm low, don't think yourself as better than me. So he says that we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from having contempt of anyone, and the way that we show our neighbor that we aren't having contempt for them is by treating them well, by sending them gifts, by being gentle with them, by developing a relationship with them. And he says that this neighbor of ours, and to help them see this is what we seek. This is what we seek after. This is our goal and our desire, and the thing that we gain from this life is by dealing with people in this way, in order to help them see these things without having any contempt for them.
فالاحتقار ليس لشخصه، الاحتقار للمعصية. أحب الصالحين ولست منهم، عسى أن أرجو بهم شفاعة، وأكره من بضاعته، وأكره من بضاع ممن من بضاعته المعاصي، ولو كنا سواء في البضاعة.
Said that the contempt is not for the person, but it's for, or the judgment, or the contempt is not for the person, but it's for the act of disobedience. And he cited the lines of Imam Shafi'i, lines of poetry. He said that I love the righteous and I'm not one of them, but I hope that by loving them, I will attain on the day of judgment to their intercession. And I dislike those acts of theirs that are acts of disobedience, even though I am the same as them in acts of disobedience.
الذي كان يضع الأذى في طريق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم يوما لم يرى هذا الأذى، فتفقده رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وزاره لعدم وجود الأذى في الطريق، كان سبب إسلامه.
So the person who used to place thorns in the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one day he didn't see thorns there, and so he asked about him, is he okay? And he visited him, found him sick, and that was a reason why he became Muslim.
يعني والله هذا يحتاج إلى يعني والله أقول هذا هو يعني هذا هو عملك في جارك، في من أساء إليك، في من كذا، أن لا تحتقره، لكن احتقر المعصية، لا ما في مانع أن تحتقر المعصية، هذا مطلوب. أما أن شوف، انظر إليه صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما قام للجنازة اليهودي، شو هذا؟ فقيل له يا رسول الله هذا يهودي، قال هذه روح تفلتت، يعني وددت أن يعني كنت في هدايتها، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. يعني المهم يعني جنازة يهودي قام عليه الصلاة والسلام وكأنه ذرفت عيناه وتأسف أنها لم تسلم. هذه الشفقة والنصح كله، النصيحة كلها أنا أرى مبعثها الشفقة على خلق الله.
bring to mind the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the funeral procession of a Jew was passing by, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up for it. Why did he stand up for it? Because he had compassion for this soul, and he felt sorry and grieved that it hadn't become Muslim. He didn't have contempt for him when he died, even though he died as a non-Muslim. He said that the origin of all nasiha, as he began, is having a compassion for other people.
قدم له الهدية لهذا لأخونا السائل. يقدم لهذا الجار هدية. يقدم له إحسانا. يقدم له كلمة طيبة. عسى أن تكون هي الرسول بينه وبين الإسلام وبينه وبين الالتزام.
He said, give them a gift. And it may be that your gift giving will be a means for that person to become religious and come back, come to the religion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should have we will have if anybody else have any other questions, email them to me and and I'll get you an answer, inshallah. So it's and the other questioner as well. So then we'll stop here. It's grown long for this evening. We'll continue on next week, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan.
Salli wa sallim Rabbi wa an'im ala al-mu'allim.